BBC Radio Nottingham. 12 minutes past three.
The Sound.
The Sound of Nottinghamshire. Together, we can make a difference. BBC Radio Nottingham.
Now, today's Make a Difference story is about a new group in Nottingham that started up to support refugee and asylum seekers who identify as LGBTQ. Plus, and the reason they fled to the UK is very often because they're being persecuted for their sexuality. And while they're here, they can face prejudice from their own refugee community too. Charlie Stubbings is from the Nottingham Refugee Forum, who are behind the project, and is here now. Charlie, hello.
Hello.
Very good afternoon. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
This is fascinating, actually, and again, it's that reminder, isn't it, that to be gay or to identify as anything other than heterosexual actually is frowned upon and illegal in many places in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. We work with many clients who have fled persecution. There are 66 countries around the world, countries or territories, that criminalise homosexuality, and 12 of those actually can use the death penalty as a punishment for that. There's also many that persecute transgender people as well. So many of our clients are very much fleeing hatred from their, from their own communities, from their own religions, from their own families, mm-hmm. and they come here to start a new life, carrying all of that trauma that they've experienced at home. Yeah.
So you've set up this service, then, have you? As a response to a need that you've witnessed amongst refugees and asylum seekers?
Yes, yeah. So the Refugee Forum in general, we support refugees and asylum seekers in the local area. all of our clients will have fled war and persecution, and we have over 2,000 clients and support them with 16 projects. The LGBT project, I set it up as in response to a gap that we'd noticed in our service. It wasn't so much thinking about who's in the room asking for help, but thinking about who's not in the room. As an LGBT person myself, when first starting volunteering and working at the forum, myself and lots of colleagues would notice that, if 5 or 10% of asylum claims are based on sexuality, then where are they? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they coming here? And the reason is there was no space for them. There was. They would feel uncomfortable coming to our service because they'd be scared of being outed in their own communities and being seen. So we really had to make a space for them.
And how have you done that then? Have you done it elsewhere? Have you done it in a separate place? Have you done it at a separate time?
Yeah, so, yeah. Starting off, I would just try and see the clients at a time when we were less busy, where there'd be less clients around. But the social and support group that we've recently started is in a kind of neutral location outside of the forum. Yeah.
And have you started to get feedback from that? Do you know if it's wanted as much as you've spotted the gap?
Yeah. So we started off very slowly. We started off in the pandemic with one or two, clients, but we've grown to 20 now, which is a massive increase.
Yeah.
It's very much a service which is needed. The members of the group, you just see such an increase in confidence. In them, they've gone from being incredibly isolated, not being able to be themselves, and suddenly they're surrounded by other people that have been through the same things, mm-hmm. And it can be a place where they can talk to others, talk about things that others in their same situation will understand, or even just trying to forget about all of that and just have some fun.
And not have to explain yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. And not have to go into all the detail because the other person knows it.
Exactly. Because, yeah. I mean, another issue that a lot of the asylum seekers face is that they get here and because of how the Home Office works, they're not allowed to work. Mm-hmm. They become completely dependent on government support and they're accommodated often in these big hotels, and they find themselves there on a no choice basis, and they can face bullying, harassment, prejudice from other residents, and just that, having to constantly explain themselves.
And then the service itself, the way that it operates, is it a support group? Is it sitting around and chatting, or do you signpost? Do you help in different ways as well?
So we have a few different things that we do. We have the support group, We also provide advice and advocacy to LGBT asylum seekers and refugees, though. I tend to have an appointment with every new referral, and we'll just go through all the services they can access in Nottingham just to make sure they know about everything. They know about the sexual health services, they know about how to report hate crime, obviously, because hate crime especially is maybe not something that people from those countries have encountered before, because previously the police would have been the ones persecuting them, not the ones investigating hatred against them. So we can do things like, we can make housing referrals to organisations like Micro Rainbow, who provide LGBT safe housing. We can do legal referrals for specialist one-off legal support from Rainbow Migration. And I just make sure that they all know about what they can access and then invite them to the group.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of it is building up trust. If you've come from a country whereby, as you say, the police were the people who, and you could, you know, potentially be threatened with the death penalty, and then all of a sudden you're then in a different country and you're having to relearn the systems and relearn who you can trust and who you can't trust.
Yeah, a lot of the clients say that it's like they've been reborn here, like they've had to start their life afresh, as an adult.
Tell me about the success. Talk to me about when you look at a client and you say, actually, there is success there, and I can see that the service has had success. What does that look like for you, do you think?
Yeah, so well, I tend to work with clients for quite a sustained period of time, even, you know, up to a year. So it's really nice to see that difference from the beginning to now. You know, we've had clients who have been incredibly reserved, incredibly, you know, shy and not wanting to be themselves, to like last month being in the Pride Parade and just being out and proud and marching. And that's just really lovely to see, because I think in the UK, obviously LGBT rights are a lot better than they used to be. But there is still this group of people from these countries, and they have this, it's almost like a glass ceiling of shame and prejudice, which is stopping them from living their best lives. And to see that kind of shatter is just really beautiful.
It sounds emotional, to be honest. It sounds really emotional to go from being very shy to then be in the Pride Parade and being very open and very visible, and also surrounded by other people who, you know, support as well. It sounds very emotional. It really does. Charlie, thank you for coming in.
No problem.
I really appreciate that. Charlie Stubbings, who's from the Nottingham Refugee Forum, talking about this service that has been set up to support refugee and asylum seekers who identify as LGBTQ+. It is 21 minutes past 3. We'll get George Michael after this.
A new start.